gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Mark, the very beginning in the first chapter. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make the Lord's paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, and I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. I have an announcement to make. That's a phrase that can stop almost anyone in their tracks. It breathes of something new afoot. Whether it comes after the clinking of a wine glass at a formal gathering or from behind a bank of microphones on the steps of the Capitol, people will listen more intently after that little phrase than most any other. But then, once all of the eyes are on the announcer, there are bonus points for style. Politicians go to great lengths to ensure they announce their entrance to a political race in the right location, wearing the right clothes with the right people in the television background. Because how an announcement is made is important. If you had an announcement to make, and I mean a huge, culture-twisting, life-altering kind of announcement, how would you do it? I suppose the content of the announcement would bear on that decision. There's an episode of one of my favorite television shows, Modern Family, in which the characters Cam and Mitchell were looking for just the right way to announce their intention to adopt a second child. Mitchell wanted a low-key announcement with just family, and Cam was happy to grant that. With streamers and background music and a banner falling from the ceiling and sparklers. That stands in contrast to the way that you might announce a high-profile retirement in the community. Newly expecting parents probably wouldn't inform their families by email. We might rather imagine dinner, merriment, hugs, kisses, at bare minimum, a giddy phone call. Because how we let people know what is coming is important. So how would you make the announcement? Where would you go? What would you say? Would you say it yourself, or would you have a spokesperson say it for you? Would you have a big publicity stunt so you could draw more attention? Fireworks, streamers, maybe a reception to follow? Would we dance? Would we cry? Would we eat? If it were my announcement, we would definitely eat. Because what goes into an announcement is important. and God has an announcement to make. The way that God makes the announcement is important, and we shouldn't miss it. But this is no ordinary announcement. There's no politician jumping into a race, no football coach retiring, no corporation merging with another. No, this announcement has only to do with the salvation of the world. It is the greatest announcement which has ever, which will ever be made. Properly done, this announcement should be made from a seat of power and prestige. Those who witness it and those who recall it should be shaken with a feeling of awe. Perhaps Wall Street would make a good backdrop. Onlookers would have a sense of wealth. Going with God means untold treasure, would be the silent cry. Or perhaps a military installation, an announcement made before thousands of warriors girded for battle and armed for conquest, would surely be a fitting way to make the point of God's dominion. Or maybe that's too dramatic. Maybe an evergreen backdrop with snowy white frosting would calm our spirits and give the impression that all is well in this winter wonderland. But no, none of those. This announcement would not be made from a position of wealth or military might, or even from simple comfort. We hear the most important announcement of all time from the Judean wilderness. Those who were there to hear it in person would have had to pack enough water to stay hydrated for the trek and would have had to be willing to exchange the comforts of home for a journey. We don't have very much wilderness left in our world, not like they did. The wilderness was a dead place that only slithering, biting, stinging, buzzing, hungry, hairy, angry wildlife were in the wilderness. There was no law in such a place and no protection from the elements. There were no comfort systems, no organization systems, no systems at all, just chaos and critters. It's the kind of place that reduces all people to a single level. There were no castes like there were in the cities and villages. There were no insiders or outsiders, no rich, no poor, just expansive creation out in the wilderness. Apparently, this announcement will have nothing to do at all with the systems of this world. Whatever is on the lips of God plays as well or better in places where comfort, wealth, status, standing, and politics do not exist, as it does in those where they do. So the locale of the announcement is a bit shocking, but the right spokesperson should be able to work with anything. God's announcement would be best handled by someone of great eloquence, the kind of orator who could weave their words so compellingly that you'd want to say thank you even if they told you they just hit your car. A real crowd-pleaser kind with silky, smooth verbiage. And people who heard wouldn't even think of casting doubt on the message, and if they did, they wouldn't know how to. Think trial lawyer meets TV preacher. Or, if not a great orator, it should at least be an A-list celebrity. Somebody that everybody would recognize and whose publicist had cast an image of purity, simplicity, virtue. Maybe an American Idol or a teen pop sensation. They could whip the hearers into such an emotional altruism that whatever the message was, we'd drink it up like ice water on a hot day. And their youth would give the sense of vitality and newness for future generations. That would finally be the answer to what the younger crowd wants from the church. And if those don't work, maybe the message should come from the mouth of a living saint. Somebody who embodies morality. A person of no vices. These days, in which everyone is trying to dig up dirt on everybody else to discredit whatever it is they're saying, the only way to keep the message of this announcement safe is to have it delivered by someone who has nothing that they don't want someone else to know. Any volunteers? But we read that the announcement comes from a man beyond the margins of civilization, who some think may have been a part of an ascetic, isolationist sect who lived in the wilderness. At any rate, his clothes were made of unpreserved hide of a camel, and he had grasshopper legs sticking out of his teeth. He didn't resemble anyone of any influence at all, but more like one of those prophets who used to run around screaming nonsense about God's judgment. They never seemed to know what they were talking about, but they did see the dark days of exile coming, and they were right about that. Still, who wants one of those old killjoys breaking the good news of God to the world? Apparently, this message is one that can be communicated even without youth or piety or eloquence or altruism, fame, or even hygiene. So without the benefit of a prime locale or a name-dropping spokesperson, there is only one thing left to save this big announcement in history. We're going to need a great publicity stunt. Of course, in our modern political climate, a scandal du jour would do the trick. It would require digging up any indiscretion of anyone from the other side. And given that this is God we're talking about, it should be quite easy to find someone from the other side, since we have gotten so good at identifying who the other people are. Anyone who doesn't look or sound like they're on God's team would be fine. And when their least proud moments hit the newsstand, all the negative attention would be turned to them, leaving the limelight on the coming announcement. Or maybe that seems a bit much, or maybe it just seems a little overdone. So maybe the classic free t-shirt approach might work. The time and date of the announcement could be printed on tons of cheap junk and passed out for free. Everybody would have a click pen with information about the announcement and about the website and the live streaming broadcast. There would be kiosks at the mall where you could purchase t-shirts carrying pithy sayings about the announcement and bumper stickers warning folks not to miss it. Before long, our culture's favorite thing, stuff, would be carrying, well, the message about the message everywhere. But no, there was no mass market stunt, just a little one in the river. Everybody who came out to hear what that old bug eater was saying got dunked in the water. Baptized, they called it. It was a symbol of old things being made new, dirty made clean, darkness broken for light, death made alive again. Then, as they left, he told them that they should go and live like that stunt meant something to them, Repentance, he called it. That's how the greatest announcement the world has ever heard, the greatest announcement the world will ever hear, came to pass. In the wilderness, from the mouth of an old school prophet, marked by baptism. That's the good news, capital G, capital N, good news, was announced in a place that we wouldn't likely go, by a guy we probably wouldn't like, and marked by a ceremony and an ethical standard we couldn't hope to live up to. What better way to announce the Savior is coming?